speech, language, and communication needs are often associated with other difficulties. The reasons why they're associated are often quite complex. So if you think about all of our interaction is based on speaking and listening. Now that speaking doesn't have to be oral speaking, it could be sign language, but everything's based around that. So if you have struggles in that area, it may well affect your ability to learn at the most general level. But it also may affect your ability to interact with other your peers, other children, but also other adults if you don't understand the demands that are being placed on you. Within the area of language and communication, there's certain aspects of the language system that can have specific impacts. So we know that some children with speech, language, and communication needs have difficulty with phonology, the sound system of the language. We know that the sound system of the language is important for learning to read. So it would not be surprising that for some children, they will have difficulties learning to read. We also know that some children, not all, have difficulties with the social communication aspects of language. So they understanding others' intentions, being able to read social signals. So we might find that some children, but not all, will have difficulties with behavior. So the ways in which these associated needs, some of them are theory-driven, so phonology links to literacy in a particular way, and others may be more practically driven, such that the classroom might not be able to monitor or support a child who's having difficulty reading social signals. Speech and language difficulties are one of the areas of special educational need where we know we get different prevalence rates at different ages. So there are many more 5 and 6-year-olds who are identified with special needs around speech, language, and communication than there are 15-year-olds. Now, the question about why this is the case is not straightforward. For a long time, people made assumptions that, well, there was a straightforward drop-off when you go into secondary school. To some extent, there's a change there. But actually, the picture is quite complex. And recently, Anna Vignolis at the Institute of Education has done an analysis of national data sets and showed that actually the numbers of children who have a statement for speech, language, and communication needs remains relatively stable. Doesn't mean the same children have the statement because you get movement in and out across children. But the numbers of children on School Action Plus gradually decline from about the age of 7 to around the age of 16 with a pretty much flattening out probably about the age of 12 or 13. So the question is, what happens to these children? Do they, you know, does the language just improve and there are no more problems? Well, it links to the associated difficulties that can go with language. So a significant proportion have their primary need changed to specific learning difficulties, typically literacy. And if you think of the relationships between language and literacy, that's why that might happen. Another significant minority will have a primary need of moderate learning difficulty. And again, you can see if the language, if communication in the classroom is based around speaking and listening, then that will affect your attainments overall and therefore may lead to a change in towards of moderate learning difficulties. For some children, there is a move to the autistic spectrum difficulty group. And finally, there is a change to behaviors, social and emotional difficulties. But that's the lowest change, and I think that's not what people had predicted in the past. Until fairly recently, there hadn't been much research that examined the ways in which speech and language support the written language skills of children. More recently, we've begun to understand that there are actually two dimensions that impact on writing. So one is the phonological dimension. And as I've said, children with language difficulties sometimes have problems with phonology. That impacts on their single word reading, but also on their spelling. So children with speech and language difficulties can have particular difficulties with spelling, and often missing off the ends of words, the EDs and the S's and the INGs. There's another aspect to language, which is really to do with the ideas sort of that you can generate through words and grammar. And children who have difficulties expressing those orally are going to have difficulties expressing them in writing too. So that we see that children, some children with speech, language, and communication needs can write a lot of words, but it's not a very rich text. It's not very meaningful, and it might not be organized. So there's the spelling, getting the ideas out on paper. And if you spend a lot of effort focusing on the language because it's difficult for you, then the kinds of skills that we want older children to do, the plan, the revising, they sort of slip by the wayside. Some children with speech, language, and communication needs will be seeing speech and language therapists. And over the last 10 years, it's become more important, and we've become more aware of the need that these speech-language therapists need to be working in the schools. They need to be working with the teachers. It's not an add-on extra. If you like, it's the therapist and the teacher developing and understanding what that child needs at that particular point in time. Often, the specialist intervention can be given by the parent. They need some extra work, or can be given in the class, perhaps by a learning support assistant. The teacher will get support about differentiating the curriculum, and the speech and language therapist will actually begin to understand what it's like for that child in that classroom learning. So the issue is about communication and profiling a child's needs, not that the child gets taken away for specialist therapy somewhere.